Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Reach out, Lord. We praise you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, we praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, we worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
It's 290.
Jesus' blood and righteousness, by dear love's cross.
This afternoon in the staff prayer meeting that some of the adults guests had come also too, that I'd asked Brother Peter, and if you were here at camp this week, you remember on Monday we were all together before the bus came and the children arrived at camp, and the counselors were here, and Brother Peter said something to us a few minutes, and the expression that he used is, on Wednesday night we're going to hit them hard. By that, of course, he didn't mean literally. I saw some boys with banged up knees and ice packs, and I thought he probably really did hit him hard. One time he hit me hard right in the nose. I think he broke my nose playing basketball once many years ago. He has a very hard shoulder. But that's not what he meant, of course, not hitting them. But he meant we're going to start out. Well, another expression he used is, we're going to go after them right the first night. And I know the first night was Tuesday, but he told us that's rule night and laying the groundwork. But Wednesday's our first meeting, and we want to really confront them with the gospel and the claims of Jesus Christ on their lives. So I asked him, every day's the same up in camp. I asked him one of these days since that time, I guess it was this morning, I said, how did it go on Wednesday? And he said, it went well. The Lord helped us. And he said, three boys gave their hearts to the Lord that he knows of. He said, he knows of three. Maybe there were others that he's not aware of, but he said, I know that three young boys, three children, gave their hearts to Jesus on Wednesday night. Now, there are others. There are others up there yet that I think need to give their hearts to Jesus. But the Lord is working. And so we want to keep praying. I don't know about the cottages. I'm sure they're having a good time. And I'm sure they're hearing the word of God day by day. So, Lord, we pray for everyone here at camp again tonight. We want to keep asking, Lord, because we want to keep receiving. We want to keep knocking because you said if we would, you'd open the door. So, Lord, we continue to ask and seek and knock and look to you and trust and believe that you're helping. Throughout camp tonight, you're helping down there in the village. I don't know what they're doing tonight, if it's bunk devotions or what, but whatever it is, speak to the boys. Draw their hearts to yourself. Awaken them. Lord, we pray that tonight will be again a night of your drawing near as they draw near to you. Do that for the cottagers, Lord. Bless these little ones. We pray, Lord, that they'll come to know you, all of them, all these little kids. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to just give them the gospel, give them the word of God, and expect and then trust that you're going to bring about the results. And Jesus, you are. You've been working, and we just continue to pray that you continue to work. And Lord, among us here tonight, we have a short meeting, just a little while together, but you're going to speak to us, and you're going to challenge us, and you're going to help us to understand you and your ways better. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are here right now to minister to each one of us. And according to our needs, Lord, as was prayed this afternoon, above and beyond. Lord, above and beyond whatever it is we could ask or think, according to your divine power that's at work in us. And we'll be careful to give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, tonight is a special night. Some people think it's special because we have the chance to go down to the bonfire a little while later. Now, does everybody know what a s'more is? I'm not trying to say, would you like s'more? But a s'more is a little thing that we've invented here. It's probably not invented in America. I don't know if everybody knows what a s'more is, but it's great. It's great. It has a lot of good stuff in it, like marshmallows and chocolate bars and graham crackers. And you cook a marshmallow on the fire. Can't beat it. gooey and it melts, and then the chocolate gets a little melty. And I hope I'm whetting your appetite, because I want to invite you all after the meeting tonight to go down to the beach. There are chairs set up, and Brother Tom is probably right now working feverishly on maybe getting a fire ready to go for us. And we have an opportunity just to enjoy that fellowship down by the bonfire on the beach right after the meeting. And if you don't feel like cooking, you can ask me and I'll make you a marshmallow. It's about the extent and limitations to my cooking, but I can make a good marshmallow. And so so join us, please, if you'd like to. We'd like you to all come, and you're all welcome. Young or old, please come down at least for a few minutes and enjoy that fellowship on this really beautiful night. Now, that's special. That's unusual. But what's also special, but it's getting to be routine, is that on the Thursdays of the third period, Sister Edith is here, and she's always willing and so far always able to speak to us on Thursday evenings. And we're thankful that she's here. Now, most of you know that Sister Edith is really, you know, I don't know, she's Sister Edith in some venues. She's Dr. Blumhofer, and I guess to some of you, not very many of you, she's just plain old Edith. But Sister Edith is my cousin, too, so I've known her a long, long time. We used to play our trumpets together in church and way, way back, whenever that was. But we're thankful for her cooking and the good meals that we've been given so far. Every time we sat down at the table, she does the best she can with what's been given to her. And sometimes it's well, I was going to say sometimes it's really a miracle, but not really. She knows how to make it good, and we enjoy it, and we're thankful for that. But in our times together, I have tried, and maybe not very well, but I've tried to get across to us that when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not so that we can go into some kind of supernatural orbit. And, you know, both feet are floating. We're not even touching the ground when we walk. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's not just that. Maybe it's not that at all. It's not some cataclysmic experience per se. There may be a cataclysmic experience. And those are all wonderful. And I'm not gainsaying that, I don't think. But if the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not to help us in our practical life, then really what good is it? If being filled with the Holy Spirit is only good when I get to church so that I can exercise a certain whatever it is that I exercise, or feel a certain feeling that I feel, or whatever it might be, then really, what does it accomplish? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is so that we can live life the way God intended it to be lived, enjoying Him and enjoying everything around us. So that's a quality of life, an enhanced quality of life, I would say even above and beyond just the experience of knowing our sins are forgiven. And that's wonderful. But to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it changes our lives in a wonderful way. And one of the ways it changes our lives is that it fills us with that desire to serve others. It's not the normal way, it's not the natural way, and it's certainly not the way of the world, and it's maybe not even the way of sometimes Christian people. But the Holy Spirit comes and enables us to serve the Lord as we should. And since I've been here at camp, I've heard a few people say, here's Dr. Blumhofer cooking for all of us in the kitchen, and that's a servant. And then one sister, who happens to be another doctor who was here for a couple days, not a medical one, but a theological doctor, said, isn't that just like Jesus? Just serving wherever they can, however they're called upon to serve. And that's what the Lord does for us. When I stopped in the kitchen on my way out here to make sure Sister Edith was going to come and speak to us, I saw her there making something, making ice pops for the cottagers. I thought, yeah, that's typical Sister Edith. Making ice pops for the cottagers and then coming to minister to us God's word, and we're thankful for it. She said she only wants 20 minutes. We then talked her into 25. And then peradventure 30. Well, maybe. She has 32. So before she comes, though, I'd like to sing a song. It's number 297 in our hymn books. It has special significance for me when I think of Sister Edith, and maybe some of you also. But it's a good song for all of us. Number 297.